SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the Early Line. We're live right here on Sports Grid on a Monday morning. The Super Bowl is in the books. It's Kevin Walsh and Donnie right side. The Kansas City Chiefs win Super Bowl 57 in comeback fashion. 38-35 is your final score. A double-digit halftime lead for just the second time is not held on to as the Eagles sadly join the Atlanta Falcons as becoming just the second team to blow a double-digit halftime lead. DRS, I asked this question knowing the answer. How are you doing here on a Monday morning?
Yeah, not as good as I was hoping we would actually be doing as Eagle fans, but what's done is done at this point. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, it's a great organization. The Chiefs, kudos to them. The only thing I feel a little bit, you know, underwhelmed by, Kevin, I wanted the finality of the game. Like, let's just say the call doesn't get made at the end of the game and the Eagles get the football. I'd feel so much better today if Jalen Hurts wasn't able to string a drive together to try and at least tie that up or take the lead. It felt a little underwhelming. And I think outside of Eagles fans, a lot of people got that same mentality as well. It was one of the epic epic Super Bowls overall. And we didn't get to see that climactic finish. It would have been nice to see.
Yeah, it really is a historic Super Bowl. 73 points put up on the board, and the game's decided by three. It's one that you'll remember for a very long time. You're right, as I'm sure many people would anticipate. Look, neither one of us hide the fact that we're Eagles fans, that this is going to be 2 hours screaming about referees. That's not what this is going to be. No. But it was the play that everybody was talking about. James Bradberry, who was called for the holding penalty after the game, says, I did hold him. I was hoping the refs would let it slide. And it puts things in an odd spot because there's this thing in the NFL where people say there's holding on every single play. And you can call it every single play, but we're not going to call it every single play. And the predominant feeling is you wish that they let it slide. It wasn't egregious. Here is what I'll say, because there's a lot, the Kansas City side, Donnie, the backers, the fan base are saying, well, it was the right call. I don't understand the complaints. If that penalty is not thrown, no one is leading this show, right? Say they don't throw the penalty, they kick a field goal, the Eagles march down, score a touchdown, win the Super Bowl. Nobody leads this show by saying, wow, the Chiefs got robbed because they didn't throw the penalty on Bradberry. The fact that it was called made it that big of a deal.
It really did make it that big of a deal. And I think also when you take a look, Greg Olson, I thought he did a great job there as the color man on the Super Bowl. And everybody else, like you have the national feeds here on Twitter that you go through, right? I mean, technicalities, it's probably the right call, but I think everybody's in agreement. You can't make that call in that state. You want to make that call in the first quarter, second quarter. I get that overall. Now, granted, as I say again, it's not sour grapes. Like, oh, they should have won. There's so many other things we're going to go into this football game. It really didn't come down to one play, but just I think we felt cheated that you wanted closure on it one way or another at that point, right? You had an epic Super Bowl that was going to be set up, and who doesn't love a team with the football with a chance to win or a chance to tie? Make your own way out here. And it wasn't egregious where it's like, hey, you know, if this was an easy touchdown pass, you tackled the guy in the open field, right? It was one of those ticky-tack plays where on the biggest stage, this is why we get upset with the NFL saying, just let the players decide it. But there was, again, a lot of other factors in this football game that really decided it other than that play.
Yeah, what makes that play so significant is, of course, the amount of time that's on the clock. Our radio audience is here on this Monday morning. Kevin Walsh, Donnie right side, the Early Line on the heels of Super Bowl 57, where the Kansas City Chiefs win their second Super Bowl in short order against the Philadelphia Eagles. And what's this mean? Well, Andy Reid now has two Super Bowls, no flukes there. Easily one of the five best coaches in the history of the National Football League, I think, at this point. And for Patrick Mahomes, well, he's on a trajectory to finish as a Mount Rushmore quarterback. Some are going to say he's there already, and I mean, you kind of understand it. Patrick Mahomes won the MVP over the past week. He won that 48-2 by the final tally in terms of first place votes. He now has two Super Bowl MVPs, and he's only been doing this for a very, very short while, Donnie.
Yeah, he's a really good quarterback. You know, newsflash right at this point here. He did everything you needed to do, and even listening to Andy Reid coming over the air after the game. Look, man, he was firing everybody up at the half, saying, I'm hurting, but I'm ready to go. And by the way, stop tackling the guy at his ankles, because it's apparent he's a better football player with a high ankle sprain and an injured than not. I mean, wait, this guy is Superman out here. And they call him Gumby for the right reasons, I guess.
Look, for Mahomes, it was hardly his biggest game numbers-wise, 182 passing yards. But here's a sneaky, horrendous, I don't know about a horrendous beat, but a gut-wrencher. He was minus 850 to lead the playoffs in passing yards heading into this game and did not end up leading the playoffs in passing yards because he only threw for a buck 82. And again, Mahomes, though, was spectacular. But another part of this game is that so was Jalen Hurts. And in fact, I think Chiefs fans, considering they won the game, will be okay to admit this. Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes. Jalen Hurts was the best player on the field, Tani, in yesterday's Super Bowl. 304 passing yards, one passing touchdown, 70 rushing yards, three rushing touchdowns. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he's a franchise guy. I mean, he really is. What a sensational, sensational way to, you know, go out in a Super Bowl if you are the loser. I was actually thinking there would have been a chance that he could have won the MVP in a losing role, but obviously that wasn't going to be the case.
One big question: how did the Chiefs win Super Bowl 57? That's coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on SportsGrid. And the simple question, the big question: how did the Chiefs win Super Bowl 57? And as I'm sat there post-game, sulking, down horrendous, I didn't find myself angry in a way that you typically are after a game like that. I wasn't throwing things. We weren't doing any staged videos where we broke TVs. The penalty, of course, was very frustrating. There was a moment then when I went, oh, we lost the game because of the Jalen Hurts fumble. No, that makes no sense. They had a double-digit lead after that play. There is so much there, Donnie, to be upset about. The field, all of these things are very, very relevant. But to me, the simplest answer as to why they did not win, they being the Eagles, and I guess then why the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid make up one of the most dangerous combinations this league has ever and will ever see. One incompletion in the second half of this game, which was a throwaway. They scored on every single possession. They were unstoppable. They looked like a college offense that had a mismatch, an SEC school going up against a G5 team. They just couldn't be stopped. The Eagles put up 35. Their defense could not apply any pressure to Patrick Mahomes. And that's frustrating for Hassan Reddick and James Bradbury and Jonathan Gannon. But in some way, I don't find myself as angry at those guys as you would typically expect, because on the other side of the field is a head coach quarterback pairing that is just unstoppable, and that was on display in the second half of this game.
Yes, it was. Now, Kevin, let's have some look. It's hard to say let's have some fun with this game, right? But granted, it was a very good betting game here. Sometimes you can wipe your tears with some dollar signs, and that's sort of the way you get over it. Yep. And honestly, you know, we're a national show here. It's not going to be a regional, hey, the Eagles got robbed, because that's not the way I'd even wanted to play out at this point. But let's go line by line with this game, right? You know, all afternoon long, the anticipation, I was really enjoying it, watching every interview I can. The buildup was fantastic. The funny stuff, even at the beginning where Dak Prescott gets man of the year in front of the Eagles fans, they let him hear about it. I got a good chuckle out of that. But I want to start here, Kevin. Let's go over this. You're telling me 2 years and $800,000 were spent on that field. Now, the reason I bring this up is, granted, I think it was a little bit of a disservice for the Eagles, where let's just say Jalen Hurts wants to get out and run, maybe he slips with it. But the Chiefs and the Eagles both had issues, but it sort of nullifies the pass rush. I'm not even going to use that as an excuse because they both played on the same field and the Eagles had a double digit lead at the break. But I want to talk to the NFLPA that made it a mission this entire season to keep telling us everybody should have grass. How is it possible on the biggest stage with almost a $1 million field, it was an ice skating rink the entire way through? Now, I can't have this anymore. We have to have, Kevin, turf on every single field, because the last thing you want to worry about on both sides of the football is it looks like everybody is falling down left and right. How could this happen? So my question to start, before we even get into any part of the third down conversions, fourth downs, whatever happened, Kevin, how can it happen? The NFL has a field that bad in their biggest game. How does it happen?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. There's no two ways about it. And it was noteworthy. Look, is that the entire reason that the Eagles pass rush for the second time all year long didn't record a sack? Probably a part of it. Chiefs offensive line was great. Mahomes was evasive in the pocket. But it's probably a part of it, considering that that Eagles defensive line finishes with the third most sacks in a single season, playoffs included. The fumble of Jalen Hurts, the way the ball slipped out of his hands like butter, yeah, it probably has something to do with the field. The Harrison Butker missed field goal probably had something to do with the field. It's objectively a disgrace. Nobody should be talking about field conditions in the Super Bowl unless Donnie begs me during the short segment to talk about how nice it looked on the TV. We should not have to discuss this, but you're right, Donnie. It was a part of the equation in this game.
It really was, and it's a shame it comes down to that, too, because it shouldn't be. Like, we had a game going back and forth the entire way. I can't wait to see what the actual, you know, overall ratings of the Super Bowl are, but every side, and granted, it's not one side, right? Because you remember, they kept on showing the shoes on the sideline, and I bet you also there was like a mandate from the NFL, like, hey guys, don't you keep bringing this up on the telecast, because it was almost apparent every single player, there's a lot of skill players that are built on quick power strike moves, and even on the Chiefs, running it up the middle, making a cut, falling down. Sky Moore fell a couple times. McKinnon fell a couple times. Kenneth Gainwell fell a couple times. It was really ridiculous they had to put that on. And also, it is the ultimate equalizer. When defensive ends are built on making that power move, Kevin, what I mean by is you go around the quarter, go around the tackle, but you bend low, almost horizontal to the ground to make that move. Nobody was making that move. You just get flipped off and knocked off the TV screen by an offensive lineman. Hassan Reddick had that happen to him two or three times. It's a shame that we do bring that up, but overall in the game, the structure of it, if you're the Eagles, here's the short of it, Kevin, right? You needed stops in the second half, and I get it, but when you're going up against Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City, and Andy Reid, here's what you can't do: turn the football over for a touchdown and give up a punt return that puts you inside the 5-yard line. All season long, the Philadelphia Eagles were struggling at the punt position. Sipos was terrible all year. He gets hurt. Kern comes in. He was even worse. So they bring back Sipos. He has a pretty good punt on the first time. But you can't kick a low line drive out there and have horrible coverage. Those were absolute game changers that you just can't do against a really good football team.
Within the first 5 possessions of the second half, the score was 21-3 Kansas City. Chiefs had 3 possessions. They scored a touchdown on all 3 of them. The Eagles had a 17-play, record-setting drive.
Yeah.
Tied for the longest drive in the history of the Super Bowl that resulted in 3 and then ultimately had to punt on their second drive. And by the time they got back out there, they trailed in this game by 8 points. I'll say, some people question Donnie Sirianni's decision to kick a field goal on 4th and 6.
No.
Here is what that means. Yeah. And your reaction is spot on to me. Yeah. Nick Sirianni, I mean, there is not a single coach in the league I would take over Nick Sirianni. Do you know how incredible that is, that Sirianni has put the Eagles in a position that when on 4th and 6, they don't go for it, people are like, hold on a minute. What's happening here? That's how aggressive he is. That's how much he trusts his offense. His decision to punt on the ensuing drive, Donnie, came on a 4th-and-3 at the Philadelphia 32. And there were people caught off guard by that decision to punt. That is how incredible he is. Because here is the one caveat with Andy Reid, who I am hyping up as a top five coach in the history of this league and an all-world play caller. He was horrendous in this game when it came to making the appropriate decision to be aggressive or not. The decision to kick the field goal with Bucker, embarrassing. And Donnie, I assume you had the same reaction as me. The Chiefs score that touchdown to go up 7, and they can either kick an extra point to be up 8 or go for 2 from the 2-yard line with a team that can't be stopped to make it a 2-possession game. Bucker walked out onto that field, and it was high fives in the room for keeping the Eagles within distance.
Exactly. They go for the 2-point conversion and get it. The game is over right there. If they don't get it, they're still up 7, and the Eagles aren't going for a 2-point conversion when they did tie it up anyway at that point. Now, because the point you're bringing up is the Eagles would have had a 2-yard play. They're an ultimate inside the 5-yard offense, which you knew they would go for in a high probability of getting it. Yes, Andy Reid was flawed a little bit in his actual game time decisions yesterday.
But the beauty of being an unstoppable play caller with an unstoppable quarterback, still find your way to 38 points, and it works out. We talk about the legacy and the dynasty that is this Kansas City Chiefs core.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, the dynasty that is this Kansas City Chiefs core. I think it is fair to call them that. I don't know how gatekeeper-y people are around the phrase dynasty, but they've now won 2 Super Bowls in this 5-year window with Patrick Mahomes. They've been to a 3rd. Maybe it's projecting out a little bit, but they've been to the AFC Championship in all 5 of these seasons, and they have been absolutely spectacular, which forces me to bring up one quick point, and then we can speak positively once again about this team. Travis Kelce, big fan. Do yourself a favor. Why don't you watch a sports betting network and stop watching everybody else, apparently, that is seemingly never picking the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs entered this season with the 2nd best odds to win the Super Bowl. Still favored to win the AFC West. Yes, some people pick the Chargers, and some people pick the Broncos, and some people pick the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl. I don't know anybody, at least that opinion I care about, thought the Chiefs were going to miss the playoffs. Mahomes still obviously had top 5 odds to win the MVP. People expected a huge year from Travis Kelce because Tyreek was gone. What do you know? Huge year from Travis Kelce. On this show, I talked about the fact that Andy Reid probably didn't get enough Coach of the Year consideration. And as the season carried on, Donnie, who said a lot of good things about the Buffalo Bills, went, nope, never mind. KC's got the 1 seed. I'm out. Because, Travis, we all know you are fantastic. So maybe some other people are messing that whole thing up. But Donnie, again, the beautiful thing in the sports betting landscape is we have the receipts and the idea that nobody believed in the Kansas City Chiefs, who were favored in that game against Cincinnati, by the way, is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is pretty good. I don't know who fires him up, but last time I checked, Travis Kelce went to Cincinnati and not the University of Alabama, which their mantra apparently now is nobody believes in us. Nobody thinks we can win anything at this point. And I think Georgia actually said that as well, which is kind of like that MO where I guess these coaches, right, and credit them if they have psychologists on staff to go, hey, you know what, guys? I need you to go in there every single day and tell them how bad they are and how much nobody believes in them. The Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, don't you remember, Kevin? Oh, they snuck in as the 7th seed in the wild card. They won 3 straight overtime games. So lucky just to get here at this point. No, that wasn't the case. The Chiefs were a very good football team all the way through and have been so since Patrick Mahomes showed up in Kansas City along with Andy Reid. It's a very good team and also legacy now as we take a look at. Also, Kevin, as you want to take a look at like building of a football team, so many times we hear the strike zone right now for the NFL is make sure you get your quarterback. You can only win on his rookie contract. Well, Patrick Mahomes has a $500 million contract over the life of it, and they continue to win games. So some of these next up quarterbacks that are going to get $30, $40, and $50 million, hey, look at Kansas City. You can actually still build a very good roster around a good quarterback and certainly make it happen. But the fact of the matter is, Kansas City being the underdogs, I love that, where nobody believed in them. It's pretty good, but it's a nice rallying cry. Maybe it worked.
Yeah, that might be the most frustrating part of it, by the way, is they do believe that, and it probably did work.
Again, like,
it's the same. Donnie, they did this with the fact that they had no sacks. Mahomes, like, yeah, that offensive line took it personally here, and how much people were saying good things about the Eagles' defensive line. What do you want them to say? That the defensive line is bad? They're the third most sacks in the history of the National Football League. They got four guys with double-digit sacks. Like, man, I was pretty upset in the way they said Hassan Reddick had a good season. But that's, athletes are wired in a completely different way.
They are.
When you look at the legacy of this team, as much as I want to prop up Andy Reid, this is the Mahomes era. Because there was life in Kansas City before Mahomes. It wasn't as fruitful. There was Andy Reid's time in Philadelphia, which was great, but obviously not as fruitful. It's why Mahomes is put in this light, and it's deservingly so. His two league MVPs, two Super Bowl trophies, and two Super Bowl MVPs. He's the best quarterback in the league. The debate about is he the best quarterback in the league looks done for now. Wait until week six when Josh Allen has another big game, and we'll have to do that nonsense again. He was out there not 100%, close to it. Whatever they gave him at halftime worked wonders. He threw three touchdown passes. He had a massive scramble on the final drive. He is spectacular, DRS. And the incredible thing about Mahomes is there is no hyperbole about him. Quite like, it is not an exaggeration that if he never threw a football again, he would already be a first ballot Hall of Famer. The incredible thing is he's probably has at least, what, a whole nother decade, if not more, at playing this position, probably at a high level.
Kevin, he's 27 years old, which is scary because I remember talking about like 15 years ago, oh my goodness, how many championships is Aaron Rodgers going to stack after they won the Super Bowl? I believe it was in 2010 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. That didn't pan out here, but still wonderful quarterback. But Patrick Mahomes, Kevin, just has that it factor. He's absolutely amazing. And when you pair him with Andy Reid, you saw like, oh, how are they going to fare without Tyreek Hill? They can't go deep anymore. It didn't matter. Look at some of the play calls that Andy Reid had out there. And also, when you used to take a look at Andy Reid, we knew he was an unbelievable preparer of a football team. By week there, they're going to be ready. His team was down double digits at the half. They had an extended halftime and came back, were absolutely on a mission on offense with wonderful play calls. And I got to tell Andy Reid, kudos to him for somehow spotting where when you run a wide receiver in motion, the DB is so worried about on the Eagles to getting to the other side that they just hit the brakes and walked in with walk-in touchdowns back-to-back on third and threes and third and goals in the game on the fourth quarter. It was tremendous stuff overall. But Patrick Mahomes being 27 years old, you're right, Kevin. We see these quarterbacks now playing for legacy, right? Oh, 33, 34, 35, they're really old. They're playing into their 40s. Who's to say Patrick Mahomes, because this is reminiscent here of a Tom Brady New England Patriots-esque run that goes as long as you have the head coach in Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes healthy, it almost doesn't matter who else is on their football team. They're going to be there at the end of the year, year after year after year. It's really impressive. Now, if Mahomes was 34, he'd say, hey, man, it's a fantastic career. He's 27. Mm-hmm. How many more Super Bowls and MVPs is he going to rack up? And also, at the end of it all, Kevin, when you take a look at it, we always talk about the great wide receivers. Ooh, Montana to Jerry Rice. Travis Kelce to Patrick Mahomes. Who knew that it might upset and upseat Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski? It's phenomenal.
The all-time list of quarterback ex-player touchdown list. I believe Kelce and Mahomes are now one behind Brady and Gronk. So they have next year they'll break it, Donnie, right? I mean, that's just the reality of it. And the thing with Mahomes that's so interesting, the record for MVPs is Peyton Manning with 5. No one's won 4. Rodgers, Brady, Favre, Jim Brown, Johnny Unitas have 3. Odds Mahomes gets to 3. Minus 10,000, unbettable, off the board. The odds he gets four. Very, very likely. So that's kind of what you look at, right, with Patrick Mahomes, is there's going to be probably, there's at least one more MVP coming his way. You'd expect there's another Super Bowl coming his way because that's just the way things look. It's the all-time stuff, DRS. People talk about the greatest of all time. The interesting thing is the record books that Brady, again, they're all Brady at the top. Mahomes being able to put up such gaudy numbers. He's the all-time leader in passing yards per game. He averages 303 yards per game. The second is Justin Herbert at 287. Brady's 10th on that list. Mahomes is going to still have to probably play like 15 seasons if he's going to want to catch some of those Tom Brady records, but maybe he will, right? I mean, that's kind of the thing with Patrick Mahomes. It's been this unbelievable start to a career, and there's no end in sight. The only thing, DRS, that would give people some pause is if Andy Reid retired, who before the game, he was thinking about that, and then they won. And I don't know, something hit him. He's like, yeah, well, I'll definitely be back next season. Yeah. And that's great for this dynasty and the idea that it's going to continue because that, I'll tell you this right now. Whenever that does come, the first year without Andy Reid, I will go back to being a little, I don't know how that's going to look.
It's an interesting point you bring up, too, and you're right about that because all the emotions that go into the Super Bowl and put into it before the game, like, hey, you know, I'm getting up there in age. We'll see how it goes. But my goodness, that first interview, and it's just Andy Reid being Andy Reid. The one thing I do love about him is that's him. Like, that's him having fun. Let's get some cheeseburgers. We just won. You know, what's better than winning two? I don't know. How about three? But also, when you're 64 years old as a head coach, your quarterback is 27, you're now finally piling up championships. It's really hard to walk away and say, you know what? Two is enough here. I've had my run. Let me move into the front office and just watch another coach handle this. No. Like, Patrick Mahomes is going to be there playing at a high level for, as you said, Kevin, possibly another decade. Big Red is 64. There's no doubt in my look, he's not doing this Sean McVay year to year going, hey, you know what, man, maybe I'm trying to build it. No, no. He's looking to hang on going like, can I get two? All right, I got that. How about three? How about four? Can I approach five or six? Because it's legitimate when you have Patrick Mahomes as your quarterback. That's how you stay young as a head coach, having a dominant quarterback, which makes your life a whole heck of a lot easier.
And to bring this full circle, and to let's get in front of this, Travis. The 2024 Super Bowl odds are out. We'll break these down in full in hour two.
Uh-huh.
The favorite to win next year's Super Bowl, the Kansas City Chiefs. So, just so everybody knows, please do not turn the Chiefs into the scrappy underdog story, because that's nauseating. The Eagles have the third best odds to win next year's Super Bowl. Will they be back? We look at their performance and what's ahead for them coming up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
There's always a winner and there's always a loser. Super Bowl 57, the Kansas City Chiefs win 38-35 over the Philadelphia Eagles. And the question of will the Eagles make it back? Well, if you look at the Chiefs and everything we just talked about, you can tell without a shadow of a doubt, and not that there ever is any debate about this, the most important thing in this league is do you have your quarterback? And the Eagles entered this season trying to find the answer to that question. And Jalen Hurts, during the regular season, found himself as the MVP favorite deep into the year. An injury cost him any legitimate chance at winning that award, but he still was fantastic and did receive a first-place MVP vote. They then beat up on the New York Giants, and people said, he didn't really do a lot. All right, turns out he didn't watch that game. Then he wasn't very good against the San Francisco 49ers, but he didn't need to be very good against the San Francisco 49ers and their fantastic defense. So we got to the Super Bowl. And people wondered, well, what was Jalen Hurts going to do? Is Jalen Hurts healthy? What if they make Jalen Hurts throw? What if Jalen Hurts has to play from behind Check box. He is by far and away the best quarterback in the NFC, an obvious franchise quarterback who the Philadelphia Eagles will rightfully pay this offseason. 304 passing yards, one passing touchdown, 70 rushing yards, three rushing touchdowns, the most rushing touchdowns for any quarterback in a single season, postseason included. A spectacular year from Jalen Hurts, Donnie, capped off with truly one of the greatest performances of his career.
Exactly. And when you're moving forward, you take a look at, you know, his entirety of his season. But obviously, we're going to focus on the Super Bowl. He was wonderful. Not any single time, Kevin, throughout like the first after two games of the season, you were worried about the quarterback position. 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 11. Oh, he can't do this. I've seen this so many times. Oh, what a bad interception, or what a horrible play he just made. Those don't happen here. Now, yes, he did fumble the football, which got returned for a touchdown, a little bit of a fluky play there. But I was asking a serious question, Kevin, by the end of that game on Twitter, because it never happens. What once over the last 57 Super Bowls, a person from the losing team actually winning MVP? Because when you looked at his numbers, 304 passing yards, you know, a touchdown pass, three rushing touchdowns for a quarterback. He was unbelievable in that game. But moving forward, you do have your quarterback. You do have your pieces in place. You know, you have Devonta Smith on one side, A.J. Brown on the other, Dallas Goedert. You're going to be able to move the football. Now, there are going to be some changes in free agency. And in my time, in my life, I should say, 45 years on this earth, that was the most talented Eagles team by far, position for position. Now, the NFL is not built on dynasties unless you have an unbelievable, once-in-a-lifetime, game-changing quarterback, which obviously Kansas City does, and we saw that with Tom Brady, right? So some of these dominoes are going to fall. It's a shame the Eagles didn't get it done this year because they were talented enough to do it. But my goodness, Kevin, maybe my favorite drive of the entire season, the Eagles down 8. You know, you Twitter, whatever the vibe was at your party, if you were rooting for the Eagles or bet the Eagles, oh, man, this game's over, right? Goes right down the field, down 8. Strike down the field. First and goal. Runs it in himself. And then on a 2-point conversion where there was nowhere to go, I'm bigger and I'm stronger than you. I put in the work in the weight room. I'm going to barrel into the end zone. What an unbelievable, because most people say, well, great front runner. What happens when they get behind? You saw when they got behind. And again, I just get back to this point. Boy, Kevin, a minute 30 left on the clock, one timeout for the Philadelphia Eagles, down 3 points. How much fun would that have been to see how far along Jalen Hurts has come? We were robbed of that moment. But anybody, even Jeffrey Lurie said before the game, we don't have any more questions. We have all the answers here. This is our franchise guy. And this coming from a guy in me that was sort of half-heartedly joking coming into the season. I don't know if we have our franchise guy. And watching that playoff game a year ago against Tom Brady on the road, going, man, I don't know if he can do this. I didn't know. But my goodness, if you want to take a look at a leap of faith and a player that really got it right this year, it was Jalen Hurts. No question in my mind moving forward, the Eagles found their franchise guy, and he's only 24 years old. We'll see if it works out much, much better than I think it did with Carson Wentz.
Look, to me, clearly established as a top five quarterback in this league.
Really good.
And I don't know how many times I have to say this, but I will say it until everybody understands. But people can't really put true value on what Jalen Hurts brings to the table as a runner and what really running quarterbacks bring to the table. And it's not even just the long scrambles. Shout out his longest rush prop, which did work out for, I know, both you and I. The quarterback sneak, by the way, stop saying the NFL needs to outlaw.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Let's get to it.
Okay?
Yeah, come on.
Like,
let's get to it.
Hey. What are we going to do? It's unstoppable. The Chiefs had multiple 3rd-and-1s. They ran it zero times. It's not the Eagles' fault. Their quarterback's built different. Their coach is built different. And their offensive line rocks, okay? Shut up about it. Enough, okay? This play's unstoppable. Yup. Listen, that's what it is. Too bad. Donnie, if I have to hear another person say that this needs to get outlawed in the owners' meeting, I'm going to lose my mind.
I'm telling you, one of my favorite plays yesterday in this, because the Eagles repeatedly kept doing it, and it makes me, because we see, it's not anything like, wow, where did they actually come up with this? They've been doing this all year long, Kevin. They're in a 4th-and-1 scenario. They take their time. Everybody's lined up. Chris Jones jumps the snap, a 350-pound defensive tackle, smacks Jalen Hurst right in the face, and he bulldozes him for 2 yards. Enough with it. You're so right about it. Everything is within the rules. There's no skirting any rule issues. You're allowed to push a football player. And the best part about it is, it's not like they just spring it on you. You know it's coming with the formation here. I love the fact that everybody complains, not saying that, well, wait a second. Why don't we just do that football play? Oh, that's right. It's like saying, hey, Lamar Jackson, you can't just let him keep running the football. He's a quarterback. This isn't fair to the rest of the league. No, you have to compensate. This is what you get with Jalen Hurts, a kid that, you know, deadlifts and squats 600-plus pounds, who can move defensive linemen at will when you know it's coming. It might be my favorite play in pro football right now.
But again, they're the only team that does it.
Yes.
You know what? Like, the people are like, man, like, this is becoming a real problem. Is it?
Yeah. Nobody else is allowed to do it but the Eagles. Yeah, they got grandfathered in somehow to one play that nobody else can actually do. It's great.
Yeah, again, like, Andy Reid watches all this film of 1945 Harvard games finding plays, and he forgot to turn the Eagles game on to figure out how to pick up third and short. It's completely different. But, Don, he had 3 rushing touchdowns. And none of it's fluky. And not the rushing touchdown then, right? And they need the 2-point conversion. At that moment, too, a lot of people tweeting about the octopus. For those that don't know, it's a player to score a touchdown and then get the 2-point conversion on the ensuing play. You knew he was running in that 2-point conversion because that's what he's able to do. To go, though, outside of just Jalen Hurts, there are 2 duos that need to be discussed. A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith combined for 196 yards, a touchdown, and 13 catches. For my money, the best 1-2 punch at the wide receiver position. Sorry, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but I'll take A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. They were spectacular in this football game. The massive touchdown by A.J. Brown. Devonta opened all game. Maybe was robbed on another massive catch down the field, DRS. But the Eagles this season, this was a Wentz thing. Right? Of, man, the Eagles need to get their quarterback wide receivers, and they maybe didn't do it for Wentz, but they did it for Jalen Hurts. Devonta Smith and A.J. Brown are a pair of, again, just elite wide receivers, and they make life a lot easier on number one.
No, they certainly do. And we have a quarterback that can buy some extra time in the pocket to get those guys open. It is really impressive. And also throw in Dallas Goedert, who is a rising superstar in this league as well. That's going to be the triplets there that are going to be set for the next couple of years. Now, Devonta Smith is going to be a free agent, going to be up for, up for a contract extension shortly. They'll probably do that for him. But if you can keep those 3 guys in house with your quarterback, things really are looking up. You're going to get to that running back room in a little bit. But if we're just looking at a 1-2 puncher, Kevin, and also like, hey, caught lightning in a bottle. AJ's 33 years old. They're 2 young guys ready to get after it, only hitting their prime along with their quarterback. That's what's going to be a lot of fun to watch in the next couple of years. You're right.
The other duo I wanted to bring up is Lane Johnson and Jason Kelce. 2 Hall of Famers that have been doing this for a long time. And we are now at the point of their careers that at the end of each season, they will contemplate retirement.
Yeah.
1, okay, full fan hat on. Fellas, please don't retire. Thank you for that. I will say this, Donnie, though, to that will the Eagles be back? Even one of those guys retiring is a kind of thing for the Eagles. That's how important those 2 guys are. Luckily for the Eagles, they have the 10th overall pick in this upcoming draft. But that, to me, if either one of them hangs it up, becomes priority number 1, is trying somehow, some way, to replenish 1 or 2 all-time greats.
You're right about that. And that's what happens in football. Not everybody stays. Tom Brady would play till he was 75 years old if he could. But Father Time's going to catch up. It's football. It's amazing that those 2 guys at those 2 positions have been that good for that long. They also, keep in mind, drafted the replacement in Juergens from Nebraska just a year ago or 2 years ago now at this point for Jason Kelce. We'll see if that plays into it. And also, taking a look at that right tackle position, That's going to be a hard one to replace. But as you said, the Eagles have two first-round draft picks here. That's the gift of the spoils of making good deals, where now you have the 10th overall pick because you got that from New Orleans here. That could help. That could be another right tackle at this point. But it's also, sometimes I feel like Kelce having a lot of fun. It's one of those things where I believe Kelce's the type of guy, Kevin, that would say, all right, you know what? One more year and that's it. Like, I'm putting it all into it. It would be pretty surprising if he hung it up right now. But again, he's been contemplating this for a couple years as one of the best centers we've ever seen. Would it be a surprise, Kevin, in 2 or 3 weeks? He goes, you know what? I had my fill. Thank you, Philadelphia. And, you know, away I go into the sunset here. He could do that, but I have a feeling he's going to be, because also you have to keep in mind when you see some of the behind the scenes team, how close he is with Jalen Hurts. That's one of those things where Jalen Hurts goes, hey man, ride with me one more year. I got you. I'm surprised if he doesn't come back. Wouldn't be shocked if he hangs him up, but I think he doesn't owe anything to anybody, but to his teammates, hey man, one more ride. I'm all in. That sounds like the way you go out.
To your point though, I think like after they beat the Pats in the Super Bowl 5 years ago, he was like, I don't know. We'll see. So it has been a long time. I guess there's one other duo I should mention, the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. Defensive coordinator Jonathan Gannon is going to be interviewed by the Cardinals. The joke after last night, maybe the Cardinals will cancel the interview. We'll see how that materializes. But the more concrete thing is that Shane Steichen, the offensive coordinator, seemingly deals are done here. He is going to become the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
This is the big issue with the Philadelphia Eagles, because as I said before, Kevin, on the show multiple times, defensive coordinators are pretty easy to find. Not to say Gannon had a very good season, tough Super Bowl, but we've seen an Eagles win a Super Bowl with a tough defensive coordinator that didn't perform against New England Patriots. It happens. If they would have won 38-35, nobody would have cared here about Jonathan Gannon. We'll see what happens with him, but Steichen is the play caller for the Eagles. That's his offense that now moves on there to Indianapolis. They're going to get a pretty good coach here. And also, how much of that movement here for Jalen Hurts into an MVP stature was him or was not? We'll see what the Eagles do internally, but that's the victors. The victors go the spoils, and also you lose some good coordinators when you have good seasons.
Although, again, kind of that Super Bowl prevention plan that typically works has now twice been blown up by the Indianapolis Colts. They took Frank Reich last time, and now they come back here and grab Steichen. So all in all, some good stuff there. We're going to make a quick pit stop over with some basketball, little NBA, little college basketball as we close out this opening hour.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It took all of the restraint in my body to not book out a full NBA segment today because LeBron, sneaky, I don't know when he's playing again. He was at the Super Bowl last night, and that is a big story. But it is a Super Bowl recap Monday. The Lakers are in action tonight against the Portland Trailblazers as a 2.5-point underdog. I will say, I think the Lakers' deadline moves were really positive. I think you saw that in the Saturday AVC spot against the Golden State Warriors. And this is a team that I would be looking to back and see if that's correct, because the books are not going to try and overreact too much to one game, and you might be getting some still value here in the Lakers. I would not expect LeBron James, though, back in this game. Apparently, his foot injury has been lingering for a while, and I'm now just wondering if he plays in the All-Star game, Donnie. That to me becomes the question, because obviously that's, you know, Team LeBron kind of on one side there. So we'll see how that all plays out. But the Lakers did get a nice win over the weekend.
They did get a nice win over the weekend. They anticipated lineups tonight. Schroeder, Russell, Brown Jr., Hachimura, and Davis. So it looks like LeBron James is going to go. Let me ask you this question here too, Kevin. I love this part about it. LeBron James takes these maintenance slash injury days, then shows up and plays in the All-Star game. But by the way, when is it this weekend? When is the All-Star game?
Ooh, I think there's a little more time. I'll double check that on you.
He'll be back then. Because I was really, like, Kevin, I was really hoping it might have been this weekend. He sits out and then shows up for the All-Star game. So what do you want me to do? It's like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I was like, stop the madness. That would have been really interesting to watch. But it'll be a tough win tonight if they go into Portland. They get that win. That's got to make that ankle and foot heal up a little bit easier for LeBron James.
Yeah, Donnie, try and sneak in that the Drexel-Hofstra game, though, a little college basketball.
Yeah, quick one here. Drexel 9-5 this season in conference play. Actually 12-2 for Hofstra. But here's the interesting part: Hofstra on a 7-game win streak right now. And also keep in mind, home road splits here. Drexel 3-8 on the road on the season. 8-1 for Hofstra at home. It's a heavy line. I think they win. But more importantly, Kevin, I think this stays under the total here. There's some CAA options here in college basketball.
All right, keep your eyes locked and loaded. We start hour two, of course, with the Super Bowl.